Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast zooming in on the world's political, security and social shifts through the lens of its media.
A complete lack of control of the state and the government.
Conflicting narratives.
They're feeling the impact of this war.
The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Estás escuchando The Fifth Floor.
The Fifth Floor'ı dinliyorsunuz. Bizimle kalın.
Tumhi ektay The Fifth Floor farnak amidi sobat.
This is The Fifth Floor, at the heart of global storytelling with BBC journalists from all around the world. I'm your host, Farnak Amidi. So we are starting this episode on the fifth floor of Broadcasting House, the headquarters of the BBC in central London. We are here because it's home to the international services of the BBC that broadcast in different languages, and they broadcast to their audiences inside their countries and around the world. And that's why the program is called The Fifth Floor. And I'm surrounded by many talented journalists here, many of whom are regulars on the fifth floor. Let's just go walk around and see what is happening on the fifth floor. Hello, guys. So you're the BBC Urdu service, yes? Any interesting story that you are working on, that you're discussing, that maybe you could share with us?
Basically, we are up to so many things.
Of course.
So many stories. But right now we are doing on a Pakistani dish called biryani.
Oh, I love a biryani. Yeah.
You know, it's a rice and meat, layers of meat and spices, and then we mix it, steam it, and we eat it.
Oh, gosh.
So, but there is a big debate on biryani. Which biryani is best? Between India and Pakistan, there are some cities in India.
Or the Iranian biryani as
Iranian
well.
Iranian biryani? But you know, Iranian biryani is so mild. So we like spicy biryanis. So this is what we are doing. What is this debate all about? What is the anthropological aspect of biryani? How it represents different societies? You know, this is what we are doing.
That's amazing. What was your name?
Hussain Askari.
Thank you so much. Oh, many familiar faces. Laura.
Hola. Hola.
I really like your tripod. I want to ask where you got it.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
So when? Any interesting stories you're working on today?
Yeah, the opposition troops for the first time launched aerial attack by drones.
In Myanmar. So big day for BBC Burmese.
Yeah.
So Win Tan, BBC Burmese editor. So now we are walking through the fifth floor, going towards our studio. There are people having their editorial meetings. It's busy. It's a busy day today. Oh, so the guests are already here. Hiya.
Hello.
Hiya.
Hi.
Good to see you all.
How is everyone?
Yeah.
We're good.
Thank you. So I'm in the studio with Asif Farouqi, an editor with BBC Urdu, and Alia Farzan. She's a journalist with BBC Persian at the moment, but she's originally from Afghanistan and has worked with BBC Dari before. And Dina Issa, who is a producer with the Gaza Lifeline, which is part of the BBC Arabic service. So great to have you all. And for this episode, we are going to be discussing Ramadan and all the traditions and rituals around it. Ramadan Mubarak to everyone.
You.
I don't know, is that
Thank
what you say?
Yeah.
That's...
No, I say in Arabic we say Ramadan Kareem.
So Ramadan Kareem. What about in Dari?
Mostly it's Ramadan Mubarak.
Same in Urdu. Ramadan Mubarak. But it is changing, you know, so a lot of Pakistanis are now adopting Arabic sort of influence is increasing. So in Urdu, it's Ramadan, like with Z. But in Arabic, it's D.
Yeah.
So we have started saying Ramadan.
So, Asif, let's start with you. What are your memories of Ramadan or Ramadan in Pakistan? What is it like?
I'm an old man, so my memories date back like decades ago from my childhood. I still remember those drum beating sounds, which used to come at the time of early morning, just before, you know, morning prayers, to wake us up.
So there was an actual drum.
Actual drum.
Wow. So
actual drums. They would come in the street and they beat the drum. And, you know, now it's more like morning TV shows, live shows. So, yeah, that's how it is changing. The start of Ramadan is...
Is it a festive time?
It absolutely is. I mean, 1 month of festivity, we look forward to Ramadan, you know, 3-4 months before Ramadan.
Mm, so it's something you look forward to.
Something, yeah, because then, you know, our evenings change. So our routines change.
It's party
change.
Time.
Yeah, so we, you know, when I was young enough to play cricket, so we won't play cricket in the during the day. We'll play cricket, you know, between fast breaking and early morning.
Yeah.
So all night cricket and, you know, things like that.
Dina, what about you? How is it in Egypt?
We do like a lot of celebrations before Ramadan, starting Ramadan. And during Ramadan, you will find a lot of gatherings, family gatherings. The drums, we have the drums. The guy with the drums comes every night at 3 a.m. Every neighborhood has, you know, its own guy who is with the drums. And he usually mentioned the names of the children in each family. So all the children were waiting to hear the names. Yes, yes, this is me. And we used to give them, you know, money from the terrace of each house. And then we start eating our meal and we start fasting after. This is one of the things that I was enjoying it when I was a kid. The family gathering, like every 2 days you are hosting or you are guest on one of the family members. So a lot of gatherings. We were all waiting for it. Maybe because the fasting is really difficult. You are
of
fasting
course.
For 16 hours or 18
hours. Yeah, especially
hours
if it's like during summertime.
It's horrible. So maybe all these festive, you know, actions make you really feel that you like this month. A lot of donations, a lot of good deeds. So you may, before the feast, even, you know, in Ramadan, you wear costume for Ramadan and you do decorations inside the houses.
And what about you, Alia? How is Ramadan in Afghanistan?
So I think the only thing that we have in common is that drum beating. We have got the same tradition in the country. And also the gatherings, especially in iftar. They used to gather and do the iftar together. And
iftar is the evening when you break your fast.
Yes, when you break your fast. And also another thing that is a little bit common in my country is they try to marry in this month. Because it's a holy month and they think that it's very sacred that if you marry in this month, there's a lot of sawab or good deed in this. And also,
I think... wedding season.
Kind of wedding season. They are doing it because at some point it has a financial logic because when you marry in Ramadan, the wedding would be very, very simple. Just among the families.
For me, it's very interesting. I was just listening to all of you because I grew up in Iran and my experience was completely different. It was more, it was so strict, everything, because you had morality police on the street. You couldn't, you know, the enforcement of hijab was much harder. You couldn't listen to music. You couldn't drink. You couldn't eat nothing. And it was, everything became much more strict. And it wasn't really, I didn't have this kind of joyful experience that you have. But I always, whenever we went to countries like UAE and stuff, but during Ramadan, I would see the difference, how festive it was and how different it was in Iran. Oh yeah, I know there is a band in Afghanistan called Baran.
Yeah, it's called Guruh Baran.
Guruh Baran, yeah. The band of Baran, which Baran means rain.
Rain, yeah. Mm-hmm. They had a very famous song about Eid. They say that Watandore Golom Eid Mubarak, dear countryman, happy Eid, or maybe Eid Mubarak. And in every Eid, people used to play the song in their house. But the situation in Afghanistan is not that good nowadays. The singers are not allowed to sing publicly, not even in maybe private parties. If Taliban find out that you're singing in parties or maybe in media, they will be punished and they will be taken. It's forbidden in the country.
Any other music that was popular maybe in Pakistan or in Egypt during the...
So when I was growing up, there was this song. I mean, it wasn't a great song, but as soon as there will be an announcement that, oh, Eid Moon has been sighted, television will play this song, you know. Falak pe kaisa ye chand nikla, zameen bhi chandon se bhar gayi hai. I found that song to be seriously terrible. it still haunts me. And we were forced to listen to it because there was just one television channel, that the national television. You have no other option. You're glued to the screen, watching, expecting something brilliant, and then these songs come up. Falak pe kaisa, I was like, oh my God, no, not again. So, yeah.
Dina, any music that you have better memories of?
No, in Arab world, it's different. If each country has its own song that it lasts forever. But we got a very good song in Egypt, and we all love it, and we are waiting for it. So it's like... أهلاً أهلاً بالعيد مرحب مرحب بالعيد أهلاً أهلاً بالعيد مرحب مرحب بالعيد hey
oh you
hey,
making hey, that hey. What does it say?
It's like everyone cheer for Eid, everyone say hello Eid, so it's like it was really very good one.
Dina, I know that Ramadan is also a time when people watch a lot of TV. I think maybe you should explain why is that, and why is it that all of these big TV series come out during Ramadan?
So is it only in Arab world?
No, we have live TV shows that go on and on and on.
We got a lot of dramas in Egypt at that time, and it's a gain for the long hours for fasting. People don't know what to do, so they just keep watching these things till the...
It makes sense.
Yeah.
You're home, you can't go out and eat and drink, so...
I was just talking with my friend yesterday. She told me it's unbelievable. I'm just watching every day more than 15 different episodes of these dramas. I got confused.
I was about to ask that you don't pray Taraweeh then.
We pray.
But how it's about the shoe window?
It's 1 hour.
Taraweeh is like 1 hour.
And not all people. Not all people. Me, myself, I might not pray it every day. Usually I do nothing after iftar except for praying Quran, Maghrib, and Aisha, and watching and eating. That's what we are doing. Mainly the normal families, you know. Mainly men, they can go to the mosque and,
and
pray.
They tend to go to mosque and then eat outside as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, when we talk about Ramadan, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is fasting, but of course, a lot of food is involved, as you all mentioned. Dina, I know that you are fasting at the moment. Yeah. So, how's it going?
It's brilliant, but you know what? We are all thinking about the whole day. About food, you know, and you know what? I promise you, that's what I think. And you know, the first day of Ramadan, the planning for the meal for the first day of Ramadan, it's like dilemma every day. Yeah. What we're gonna eat tomorrow after after you finish your meal, you're gonna think for the second day meal, and it have got to be chicken and beef, rice for the people who likes rice. Pasta for the people who likes pasta, and all the sort of drinks, and there are desserts. So it's really
it's very interesting.
Hectic.
It's actually contradictory to the spirit of
the month. Exactly.
So basically, while you are fasting, you are supposed to think about people who do not have food.
Exactly.
But this spirit is gone. You know, it's quite sad. But
you're just constantly thinking about what to eat next. So, what I want to know is that, because I'm sure there are special foods that come out during Ramadan,
in Iran.
I mean, I never fasted, but in Iran, I just waited for the zulbia and bamiye, which is like this batter that you deep fry in oil, and then you soak it in sugar syrup and saffron.
Well. Yeah.
What about in Afghanistan? Mm-hmm. Anything special you eat for suhoor or sahari, which is the morning meal, mm-hmm. or the iftar, which is the evening meal that you break mm-hmm. your fast with?
So for iftar, I think it's usual that we will have two levels of food. One is to just break your fast, and the other is to fill up your stomach. So to break the fast, we usually have dates and also some pastries like bulani, arshak. They are basically to just break your fast.
Arshak is those dumplings.
No? Yeah, but for the main course, we usually have rice, qabli palau, which is an Afghan rice made of rice, meat, vegetables, and raisins. And it's gorgeous
rice. Yeah. Also, what about you, Pakistan?
So we in Pakistan, South Asian, try to find food which are the most unhealthy thing during Ramadan to break the fast. For example, deep fried things, samosas, pakoras like gram flour. Yeah, anything you can, make look beautiful, but, not so healthy. Mm. So,
and I know you're not fasting right now, but do you eat the Ramadan food?
No, they're two different things, Keeping fast is different and, breaking fast is different. I believe...
You're committed to breaking fast.
Absolutely. I'm totally committed to breaking fast. And, since I sometimes, the girls want me to make food for them in the morning, so I wake up and make the for them and then eat myself as well. Mm. So I have 6 meals during Ramadan. So I regular breakfast with my wife, then lunch at office, then fast breaking with my daughters, then dinner with my wife, and then sahur in the morning. So yeah.
That's you are having a feast, Asif.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a joyful experience in Ramadan.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Hallo, hier sind Julia und Chris vom Podcast Drinnies. Wir machen nicht nur einen Comedy-Podcast, sondern gehen auch leidenschaftlich gerne nicht zu Stoßzeiten in den Supermarkt. Ehrlich gesagt bleibe ich am liebsten ganz zu Hause und ziehe nur eine Hose an, wenn es klingelt. Wenn es euch auch so geht, dann ist HelloFresh genau das Richtige für euch. Der Kochbox-Lieferservice bringt euch frische, abwechslungsreiche Gerichte direkt vor die Haustür, die ihr im Handumdrehen selbst zubereiten könnt.
Und mit dem Code LECKER24 könnt ihr jetzt richtig sparen. In Deutschland bis zu 120 Euro, in Österreich bis zu 130 Euro und in der Schweiz bis zu 140 Franken. Also Code LECKER24 eingeben und sparen.
PS, der panierte Portobello-Pilz mit Sweet Chili Ketchup ist sehr gut.
The information spaces we inhabit can resemble a hall of mirrors.
It's called guided democracy or managed democracy. There are different parties, different candidates, but everyone knows who is going to win.
The Global Jigsaw is the podcast helping you make sense of them.
We've seen a crackdown on the opposition. We've seen an increase in censorship.
That's The Global Jigsaw from the BBC World Service. Listen now by searching for The Explanation wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
I'm Farnak Hamidia, and this is The Fifth Floor. On this episode, we are talking about this year's Ramadan with the help of Dina, Alia, and Asif, three colleagues from Egypt, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. So now let's talk about some of the stories you've been reporting on for this month. Dina, Gaza is on everyone's mind, of course, at the moment, and you work for the Gaza Lifeline. It's an emergency radio service for the people who are in Gaza. Tell me about the stories that you are covering, especially at this moment in Ramadan.
It's really sad to talk about it. We have voices from all Gaza, North Gaza, South Gaza, middle of Gaza, all they are complaining and they are crying and they are screaming. And, we want to help them, but you can't, it's out of our hands. So we try to reach out for them and to broadcast their voices, the situation in hospitals, the humanitarian situations everywhere in Gaza, the infrastructure, the damaged infrastructure there. And at the same time, we are trying to keep balanced, in the story. Once I heard the voice of women saying that if I was dead, it was much better now.
Amid all of this, there are also stories of hope, people coming together, communities helping each other, and these little sparkles of humanity any of those stories you can share with us?
Yeah,
in the
of course.
Spirit of Ramadan.
Of course. Two stories I can remember right now. Of course, you know, they have shortage. They are severely shortage of water there. That they are thirsty all the time. It's not a, regarding, you know, cooking or washing. Yeah. They can't drink. And when they find water, it's unclean. You know, people there relied on the wells, okay? So each neighborhood, like two or three big wells, they divided now the water on all the neighborhood. Queues, long queues come to one house where they had well, a big one. So, and they try to share all the water together. They might have, you know, two liters every house, but it's still, you know, they are helping each other. No one says, no, this is our water and we have to keep it secure. And yes, and we have to save it for us. So this one story that make us feel like, oh, these people are suffering, but they still have, you know, have this, you know, they feel with each other and with their neighbors. And there are a lot of projects there. It's named, the big umbrella is Tikeya. And the Tikeya means that food donations. They are not donating beef, they are not donating meat or chicken, but they are donating vegetables, you know, lentils. And it has to be like sometimes grass. Sometimes they cut the grass and clean it and they made it like a soup. So, but they are not eating by themselves. They are eating with other friends and other houses in the neighborhood. So it's really sad, but it's really amazing. It's amazing that they are sharing even the grass, even the lentils, the legumes, you know, vegetables, onions, the stuff they got. The smallest stuff they got, they are sharing with each other. So this is one of the amazing things about the people there. They still have the faith. They can do it. They can survive.
And Alia and Asif, I know both of you have been working on stories related to the cost of living crisis in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Let's start with you, Alia. What is causing this cost of living crisis right now in Afghanistan?
So the change of the government almost 3 years ago caused this. Even before that, people were not living in a good situation. But after Taliban took over the country, especially when the aids were cut and also the assets were frozen, that situation got dire. And nowadays, by the start of Ramadan, many international organizations announced that almost 24 million people are starving in the country and 15 million are at risk of famine. These are families that mostly run by women, especially widowed women.
And they don't have the right to work.
Yeah, and they don't have the right to work. So these are those families. And WFP announced a few days ago that most of Afghan women are fasting with empty stomach because of the financial problem in the country. And also in some part of the country, it's kind of traditional problem that women let the male member of the family eat first. And after they are finished, they will eat the leftovers. So if there isn't any food on the table, so nothing is left to women to eat.
Asif, what about Pakistan? How is the situation there with the cost of living? And what is causing it?
So the cause basically is that Pakistan is in a deep political crisis for the last 3 years, and it is leading to an economic meltdown almost. 3 years ago, there were like 25 and 30% population was living below the poverty line, and it is now around 40%. So the increase is really sharp. And unemployment is increasing and inflation is in the historic levels. So all of this is compounding the economic situation in Pakistan.
And Asif, I know that you talk to people on the ground in Pakistan on a daily basis almost. What are they telling you? How is this whole situation, this crisis impacting their lives, especially during Ramadan?
You know, whoever can, they are fleeing the country, so to speak. I mean, you must have heard stories of Pakistanis, hundreds of them, you know, dying on the boats, trying to come to Europe or to other countries.
Asif, I know you've been posting some videos about how to have a Ramadan feast on budget. How's it going?
Yeah, so that is also something which, you know, we started because of the cost of living going up. Because we were attending in a meeting, a morning meeting, and someone mentioned, oh, you know, it's becoming so expensive. The samosa is for 100 rupees. I said, what? I was in Pakistan last year and it was like 25 rupees. So that gave us thought that, okay, if a samosa is for 100 rupees, you cannot possibly go and buy like 6 samosas or 10 samosas for your family. So there has to be a way of making samosas at home. So from there, that thought came in that, okay, let's try and, you know, tell people how to make budget iftaris if you cannot afford, you know, go out. And usually we like to go out and buy stuff for that, but you know, now more and more people are trying to make them at home.
So Eid is coming. Dina, what are you going to do for Eid?
Usually the first Eid or the first day of Eid, the feast, smoked salmon, smoked fish, very salty, with salad, with fruits and onions and garlic and all this stuff.
So you're making that?
Yeah, and I'm making, I'm bringing this from Egypt. Oh. It's exported from Egypt for me. But it's unhealthy, to be clear.
It's unhealthy.
But it tastes good. Yeah, exactly. So.
Alia, how are you going to be celebrating the Eid?
So actually, I haven't found Eid very festive here because back in the country, we used to visit our family members, especially the elders. But here, I don't have any family member apart from my husband that he's also working on Eid days. So I don't know whether we celebrate it here or not. But in the country, it was very festive. Mm. And in my part of the country, such as I'm coming from north of the country, and we had a tradition that people who were newly married, especially the brides, would wake up early in the morning, put on their makeup and wear their fancy dress, mostly their wedding dress, and they would wait for other people from the neighborings to come and visit her.
Wow.
And at the end of each day, they would count that, how many brides did I visit today? Like, oh my from God, 10 to so 20, yeah. And it's a tradition, and people would like challenge each other that, I will see 20 brides today. Can you make that or no?
What is the tradition like? I mean, why brides?
I don't know the logic, and I don't know where is it come from, but from the day that I have known myself there, it has been there. They will just watch her, then nothing else. Say hello and watch her and then come back.
That's so.
In some houses, they would host them with tea, chocolate, and dried fruits.
What about you, Asif? How are you going to be celebrating Eid?
So this is our first Eid away from home.
Oh.
So, you know, it was sad moment last night when my wife kind of brought it up that, you know, how are we going to do it?
Oh.
And then we all chipped in with ideas and we decided that we will throw a party for our neighbors. So, you know, they're like, obviously, we live in an area where there are mixed people. So there are actually some Muslims, but there are some Christians, some Hindus. So we are going to cook, all of us. So my daughter is going to make mac and cheese. My wife is going to make, you know, this traditional, which we every household cooks in Pakistan. It's vermicelli, you know, the very thin noodles.
Oh, yes.
But they have to be sweet, very, very sweet.
Yeah.
So they're going to do that. And then we'll make some samosas and teas and all that. That's how we're going to do it. So
that's a nice way to do it.
It is, but it's, you know, it's kind of trying to keep ourselves busy, not get bored or depressed, because in Pakistan it's, you know, it's just, you know, visiting families and brothers and sisters, and that's what it is. Eid is all about that.
Well, thank you very much. It was amazing talking to all of you. You guys are great, and I hope you have a fabulous Eid. Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak.
Thanks to Alia Farzan from BBC Persian, Asif Farouqi from BBC Urdu, and Dina Issa from the Gaza Lifeline. I'm Farnak Hamidi, and the Fifth Floor team this week was Alice Joya and Caroline Ferguson. The sound engineers were Emma Hart and Sue Mayo. You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
People fixing the world.
People Fixing the World. Brilliant solutions to the world's problems.
All right, let's do this.
We meet people with ideas to make the world a better place.
Trying new things that they're really passionate about.
And investigate whether they work.
The idea is you send in a robot where it's unsafe to send another human being.
Wow, okay.
People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service.
Buckle up and get ready to ride.
Listen now wherever you get your BBC podcasts.